Hey, I'm Daryl Etherington, and I'm here with
Jordan Crook
and
Anthony Ha.
And we are bringing you original content, the TechCrunch podcast, where we talk about streaming news, streaming shows, and movies and reviews. So, what do we got this week, friends? We're all back. It's a big group thing again.
Yeah, and we should also mention we're at the end of the episode, we're going to do an in-depth review, well, semi-in-depth review of Ozark, which is a Netflix show that, yes, super depth, the most depth, hyper depth. But we have a bunch of new, so we're going to review Ozark, which is a Netflix show that came out last summer, but we're kind of circling back, partly because I think Jordan is a big fan of it. But before we do that, we're going to kind of run through, I think, a lot of different news.
Yeah, all over the place, but more news than maybe we normally cover, which is kind of fun.
So Oscar noms, right? That's what we want to start with. Those came out last week?
Monday.
It seems like last week.
Yeah,
it
feels like forever. Yeah.
This week has been long. Jeez.
And like, I think there's a lot of things we could talk about. I mean, to me, I think like the big story, regardless of like outside the streaming world, is just like Get Out got nominated for Best Picture and Best Director, which is like... which it totally deserves, but I think is like also hugely surprising, and it would be like amazing if it won. But then within the streaming world, I think like the big things were that Netflix, particularly Mudbound, a movie that we reviewed on this show, got a whole bunch of, well, got four nominations, which actually is the same number as Get Out. But not for Best Picture, but it was nominated. Mary J. Blige got nominated as Best Supporting Actress. The cinematographer was nominated for Best Cinematography, and she was actually the first woman to get nominated in that category, which seems really insane.
Well, yeah. First ever?
But, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow.
So that, I mean, it's basically Netflix.
That for a minute. Yeah. Just let that sink in.
Yeah,
it's
nuts.
2018, we're 2 years from 2020, folks.
Yeah, the world sucks in a lot of ways, and is very backwards.
Okay, so I sadly did not see Get Out. My girlfriend's terrified of scary movies. I also haven't seen Mudbound, so I need to get both of those on my list. But what can you guys give me like a synopsis of Mudbound a little bit? I know what Get Out's about.
Well, you should listen to original content episode number. Do you remember
the 2 hours that we recorded about Mudbound?
I'm trying to promo it.
I believe in anti self promotion.
Okay, so don't never find it.
But you should listen. We did do an in-depth review of Mudbound. The basic summary is it sort of takes place in Mississippi around World War II, and starts out by kind of focusing on this black family that's like, you know, farming. They're basically like tenant farmers on this land, and then like this white family that takes over the land, ownership of the land, also starts like farming there, and it's kind of about the relationship between the two families and about like race relations in Mississippi in the 40s and a bunch of other stuff.
Yes. And the synopsis of me and Anthony both liked it, which makes us look good. Although I was slower
makes
to
us
like
look
it.
Good. Jeez. That helps.
Yeah, we did it. I remember I was like slow getting into it, but then I liked it in the end, Anthony, if you recall. And
yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, it feels like a very traditional kind of Oscar-y movie. But I think it actually is like better than that, than in the talents. And then it's also like a little bit stranger stylistically because it has all these different characters do voiceover. And so especially at the beginning, it takes a while to get used to the fact that like, you know, like the first 30 minutes, like you're hearing voiceover more often than not. And so it's like it just takes a while to get into it, I think.
Yeah, it's multiple perspectives, and then it's like each sort of segment is a different from the different character's perspective is set up by voiceover from that character. It was a strange kind of narrative thing, but I'm not used to in movies or TV. But it's also very different from Logan. Logan is also nominated in the same category, at least one of the same categories. It's an adapted screenplay. That's fun.
That's right.
Logan was the X-Men one, right?
Yeah, the X-Men one. Did you see that one?
I saw that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It made me cry.
Yeah, it's the one with the little girl and sad.
Yeah, it's super sad. I'm like pretty behind, though, I feel like, on these Oscar films. Like, I saw Darkest Hour, which I thought was fantastic.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I saw I, Tonya.
Whoa, you've seen a lot of them. You've seen the newer ones.
Well, those are two. Yeah. I mean, when I go home for the holidays, that's like me and my family's like number one thing we do is just go see movies. It's like so non-confrontational.
Right. Everybody just be quiet and let's watch this.
Exactly. Thing. We'll see like two a day. Seriously. So I went through a lot. But anyway, so I didn't see The Post, which is upsetting because I'm a huge Meryl Streep fan. And
is that about a newspaper?
And she's great in it. She's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's about like the, I think it's like papers that were.
The Pentagon Papers.
Oh, yes, the Pentagon Papers.
From Vietnam, right? Like the lies about the Vietnam War that were exposed by, I think, the New York Times and the Washington Post. And she's the head of one of those papers and has to make the tough calls in a male-dominated industry. And Tom Hanks is in it. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong with something like that, I feel like. Also, wait, just quick sequitur. Meryl Streep is going to be in the second season of Big Little Lies.
Yeah, I heard that. I got to watch the first season of that now.
This is why we have to keep champagne on ice right here. It's for moments like this.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I guess that's good. I like champagne.
I like Meryl Streep.
I know, no, that'll be good. That'll be a good show. Everybody was excited about that. Again, I have to see the first season, but people were really excited about the first season of that too. So I bet that's part of it, right? It was just a really good quality show to begin with.
Oh, yeah. It was super good. And the book was really good. I read the book before the show ever, like, was announced. And the book itself is fantastic. And the show was so well done. And, like, Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Shailene Woodley, like, all have just amazing performances throughout. Same thing with Alexander Skarsgård. And the music is amazing. Like, I just love that show. There's a lot going for it. I watched the whole thing again on the flight from Sydney to New York.
Like is it available anywhere, like on anything streaming?
It's HBO.
Or? Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, so if you have HBO Go.
We don't have
anyway,
that here.
Back to Oscars. I've seen some of them, but I feel like, as is the case often, I have not seen the ones that are going to win things. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's always something like Lady Bird or like The Shape of Water, which like I haven't gotten around to. It's always like that one or two movies that you like haven't actually seen. Or Three Billboards. My mom said that was fantastic, but I haven't seen that either.
Did you see Baby Driver? It's nominated for something. Film editing?
Yeah. I mean, it was nominated for one or two like technical awards. It wasn't like a big nominee.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Anthony.
No, I mean.
I guess we'll just, those film editors, they're trash. They're garbage. Screw those
people.
They're
terrible.
Yeah, it's not like it's not even worth winning it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Shape of Water looks really good. I really want to see that. It's theaters, right?
No, it came out about a month ago.
Oh, okay.
But I also have like a long, I have a long overdue story where I interviewed the people who did the special effects for The Shape of Water. So hopefully by the time this podcast goes up, my interview will be up on TechCrunch.com as well.
Nice. Oh, you have an actual story. I thought you meant like I have a story to tell you right now. But you mean a story?
No. I have to finish writing. I have like a half written story where I interviewed them. And like the sad thing is The Shape of Water was like nominated in 13 categories. So it's the most nominated movie. It's nominated in almost every category except for visual effects. So they probably were a little bummed out.
Yeah, no kidding. Well,
I think that. I think it's still like, I mean, a crazy success story because I don't think anyone really expected it to, you know, this what is basically a love story between a mute woman and the creature from the Black Lagoon is not something you would think of as prime Oscar material. So like, just like Get Out, I mean, the fact that it's like, you know, nominated and seems like one of the big contenders is crazy.
Yeah, well, I even think like Get Out wasn't that much of a surprise, to be honest. Like, given the critical acclaim around it after it came out, like I think the assumption was going to be that it was going to be another horror flick, you know? And like it just penetrated so much deeper than that, and it approached like horror. From what I've heard, I haven't gotten to see it yet, but it approached horror and like deeper cultural issues so differently and uniquely from what has ever been done before that like. I actually think it makes a lot of sense on the list.
I just think it was more like the opposite of the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, people just assume, like, the Academy is going to do a shit job regardless of what seems logical.
Yeah.
Backwards job.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and I mean, part of what's happening is, as I understand it, like, basically in the last couple of years, the Academy has worked really hard to bring on more members who are younger, more members who are women, more members who are like people of color, and so, like, that's, you know, no one, I mean, obviously it's a secret ballot, so no one knows exactly how things broke down, but I think there's sort of, one of the narratives is that that's the reason why Moonlight was able to win last year, when that was, like, a huge shock. I mean, not just because of the onstage, you know, screw up, but also just no one expected Moonlight to win. No one thought it had a chance. And so...
Wait, Moonlight won? I turned it off after they announced...
I sort of, like, stopped, like, yeah, like, focusing. And then suddenly, like, the person I was watching was like, wait. But, like, yeah, I think Get Out, like, I think there are... It's true that, like, it's not... Because I think there have been plenty of other, like, recent, like, horror movies that I, like... you know, have gotten incredibly, like, rapturous reviews and probably in my heart of hearts think are, like, better movies than Get Out. Like, I think, like, It Follows, I think, is, like, one of my favorite movies of, like, the last few years. And, but it didn't tap into the zeitgeist in the way that Get Out did. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was this combination of being a really good, horror movie. Although actually also I think Get Out is a better social comedy than it is, a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And then also the fact that it, like, really, like, felt like a movie that felt really right for this cultural moment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. Although I didn't see It Follow, so I can't really comment on that side of it. But just, this is a non-sequitur, but it is related to Oscars. So I saw the nominees, like, being announced somewhere, and I saw the actress in a leading role list, and I was like, oh, wow, that's so great that it's all women this year. And then...
Good job, buddy.
It took me a while to remember.
What. Part of the solution, right?
I mean, the one good thing on that front, I mean, another good thing on that front was that, you know, the people made fun of the gold, or that Natalie Portman, I think, you know, deservedly sort of on stage at the Golden Globes called out the fact that all the director nominees were male.
Yeah.
And that's not the case with the Oscars because Greta Gerwig is nominated for Lady Bird.
Yeah, and that was a notable omission. That was, like, one people said, like, hey, how did this happen? Because everything, it got nominated for other stuff, right? Including Best Picture, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Supporting Actress.
Right.
Best Picture, Lead Actress. It's got a handful of them.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, at the Globes, like, I think people are like, how did the movie get nominated for this, this, and this, but not director, when it's, like, usually the
clearly
case
that these things... Clearly a front runner. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a non-sequitur, total non-sequitur, but the breaking news is that Vince McMahon is bringing back the XFL, his alternative football league to the NFL. That's Vince McMahon, the head of the World Wrestling Entertainment Company. We now return you to our regularly scheduled news.
Yeah, I can't. Like, we don't need two NFLs for sure. It's like the last.
We found that out the first time that he launched this, and it failed miserably. But very, very interesting move, I guess. Anyways.
So what's our other news? Because I feel like we.
Oh, the last thing I wanted to touch on the Oscars just is, like, so bringing it back to streaming is just, like, so obviously Netflix did well. Amazon, Amazon Studios distributed The Big Sick, and The Big Sick was Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon were nominated for Best Original Screenplay. So that's awesome as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I didn't even see that one.
That's a fantastic film, too.
It
like
is.
It's great. Probably the best romantic comedy of the last few years.
I agree.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So yeah, good for that.
It doesn't seem like a high bar, but I would definitely agree with that.
Okay.
I think the last one that I really liked before that was Jenny Slate, The Obvious Child.
Oh, Obvious Child.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was kind of similar.
I didn't see that.
It's really good. You should watch it if you haven't seen it.
Like, all of the, I feel like romantic comedies back in the day, like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and stuff like that, I thought were really good. And then in the past few years, like, I just haven't seen one that has really been worth anything, except for maybe, like, the ones that lean way towards comedy, like Bridesmaids, right?
Yeah.
It's, like, super funny. but I wouldn't even call it a romantic comedy, right? Like, that is such a subplot.
Right.
Team outing comedy or whatever, that new genre.
Right.
Exactly.
With, like, a small romantic subplot.
Like a female The Hangover.
Well, definitely watch The Obvious Child then. You'll like it a lot. And it's yeah, and it also is like, I mean, it's comedian led. It's about a comedian. It's very much like the other one we were just talking about. Whose name I forget.
The Big Sick.
Yep, that one.
Cool. All right, so what's our next topic?
So I think there were a couple of
Hold on, my Alexa renewals. Is freaking out.
Okay,
Alexa.
Okay, she's done. Go ahead.
So I think there were a couple of show renewals we want to talk about. There's Sneaky Pete and The Tick, which are both coming back for season two. The Tick we actually reviewed on the show so it's complicated because
it is complicated.
There's a first part of season one, which we reviewed, and then there's a second part of season one, which is about to come out, and then what it was renewed for was season two.
Yeah, I didn't know that when we reviewed it. I don't think we even acknowledged that, did we? Because... Were you
I
aware?
Think we did, but maybe I'm giving us too much credit.
Anyways, I didn't know that it was a half season, but maybe I did, and maybe current.
I'm pretty sure because I mean, it doesn't feel like a huge season finale. It feels like it just sort of, you know, it wraps up some storylines, but it's not. I think if that were the season finale, we would have been much more negative on the show,
like a fall finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and that's it's actually a bit longer, right? So the second season is going to be a 10 episode. So this it seems very much like they just kind of like hedged their bets as opposed to doing they did premiere season with this too, right? Where they had the pilot and then but based on that they ordered up the initial slate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was just filming schedules or something, who knows.
Yeah, I think part of it was just that like they were just a little bit behind and they just, you know, probably had to, I mean, I don't know, this is definitely what happened, but like I think like some of the stories were basically that they kind of were like falling behind, and so just to get some stuff out there, they you know, and to stick to the original date, they put out, you know, a limited number of episodes.
Well, it's good to hear that Amazon is actually renewing some of its shows too after it's given the axe to so many recently, including ones that really people have a special fondness for, but all in service of the quest for the next Game of Thrones, or seemingly.
Right, just to pay all that money that they're going to pay for the Lord of the Rings prequel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Well, Amazon very much is like throw shit against the wall and see what sticks, right? Like that.
Yeah, but then like over the past few years, I'd argue they've been like, oh, let's just keep making some of that semi-sticky shit. Whereas now they're like, nah.
Right.
It's got to be real, real.
Well,
sticky.
I think, yeah, there were a lot of stories that came out last year, basically, that Jeff Bezos, I think, kind of said, like, what the hell are we doing? These are not his exact words, but, you know, he was essentially, what the hell are we doing? Why do we have all these sort of, like, niche shows? I want to, like, really have, like, a big, you know, culturally defining show like Game of Thrones. And then I think that happened, and then there were some cancellations that sort of people assumed kind of fell in line with that, where he's kind of like, if it's a middling show, let's just get rid of it. Let's really, like, make some big bets. And then on top of that, there were, you know, all these, there's, you know, these scandals where basically the head of Amazon Studios was, you know, wrapped up in some of these sexual harassment allegations. And so he got fired. And I think some of the other executives have left. And so now, like, it's kind of like, who the hell knows what's happening over there?
Yeah.
Right.
So what's the other show, though? I'm not actually familiar with that.
It's Sneaky Pete. And the creator is Bryan Cranston. He's one of the executive producers, and he's also one of the lead actors.
I'm familiar with him.
Yeah, and it has Giovanni Ribisi in it as the lead. And it follows this guy, Giovanni Ribisi. His name is Marius, I think. And he is a con man who gets out of prison, realizes that there's this gangster that he owes a bunch of money to and he can't pay it. So instead of going back to his old life, he pretends or impersonates his cellmate, Pete, and goes to like hang out with them. His grandparents, I guess, on this like apple orchard or something. And it's supposed to be like mostly drama thriller, but with some funny, you know, Ribisi-esque comedy in there. And Cranston plays like this really hardcore bad guy who's pretty terrifying. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment much more than that. But I do know that it has 100% score on Rotten Tomatoes. But when I wrote the story on it this morning, my Twitter feed was full of like, I couldn't get into it. I got bored. So I don't really, yeah. And Amazon says it's the it was the second most streamed original scripted series on the platform.
What was first?
I just I'm really confused by all of that. I have no idea what was first. I would guess Transparent.
That seems like a likely,
does seem likely
candidate.
So yeah, I don't really know. But it's like kind of snuck under the radar, I guess. I'm interested to watch it. Did you guys not review it?
No. Didn't even
know
it
existed.
Maybe
we should put it on the list or something.
Yeah, we've had kind of a blind spot with Amazon in a lot of ways. We should do more of their things.
Yeah, I mean,
they're releasing like 50 series. Like, what? They're like, here's 100 pilots for you to figure out which one's going to work.
Wow, the creator of this show is also the creator of The Good Doctor, that garbage normal broadcast television show.
Yeah. Did you watch it at
all? Wait, so have you watched it or you just...
Oh, I just... Yeah. I just see the trailers all the time and it drives me absolutely insane.
Yeah, they're like, this is a 16-year-old kid who's like a surgeon, like naturally. It's just his skill.
It's just... What? Did I get into this yet? I watch a lot of stuff on Bell streaming. Like they have on demand for like subscribers. But when you do that, they like put... The only commercials they have are just shows, other shows on that network. And so I watch like my CW shows, but here they're broadcast on CTV and they also broadcast The Good Doctor. So it just puts those in. And the trailers, whatever shows they promote during those, like I'm disgusted with them. It's like a Pavlovian response where if you just say the word of that, I like immediately vomit because I've seen so many of the previews for those shows. So it includes The Good Doctor. It includes This Is Us. It includes...
Are you going to hate on This Is Us?
Well, I can never watch it because I've seen so many previews of this garbage show and they're all the same preview and
it
looks
not
like
a garbage
shit.
Show.
I don't care about that show at all. I will never watch that show. See, this is how violent the response is. What was the other one?
Yeah, they got to figure out their ads because This Is Us is not
like
a garbage show.
Them a
it's
message.
A fine show.
Well, I mean, also it seems like it's designed to provoke emotional response.
Absolutely.
Really
I cry in every
way.
Episode. But no, it's cathartic. It's good.
Okay. We disagree. I saw that Crockpot is in trouble now because of some revelation they made in it.
Please stop.
Okay, I won't spoil it.
I haven't seen last night's episode. Please stop. I've like been avoiding that story all day.
Just watch out for the Crockpot, I guess. Anyways, yeah, there's a few other ones too. Like the new Kiefer Sutherland show, whatever it's called, or newish. Designated Survivor.
Right.
Also garbage, and they also...
Designated Survivor doesn't look so good.
If they just came up with, two variants, all I'm asking for is two variants of the commercials. Not, they just have one. They just have one they play over and over again. And it's, to the point where I can say them by heart and then, make the sound effects that come in, and it drives me insane.
Maybe you're watching too much TV, buddy.
I gotta watch my superhero shows.
It's my job.
My Caped Crusades or whatever, the foibles.
Right. Well, also, I think you said you wanted to mention that new show, right? Black Lightning.
Yeah. So I didn't watch. I didn't watch the show we're reviewing, but I did watch.
You're the worst.
But I did watch Black Lightning, and I loved it. The first episode. So it's one of those shows, Anthony. We've talked about this before, where. Because of whatever strange carrier relationships between the U.S. and Canada, it's a Netflix original here. And even though it's a CW show in the States. So it's broadcasting as it airs on Netflix every week. The same way that The 100 does. But unlike The 100, it's actually a good show. That's what the biggest difference is between it and any of... So it's also like a DC licensed character... but it doesn't really, I don't think it exists in the same universe as the rest of the DC characters, including the Flash.
Right, like Arrow and the Flash and Supergirl.
Yeah. And the reason upon watching it is this is just a good show. So they didn't want to associate it with these trash garbage shows.
Okay, now you're actually going to get hate mail because, I mean, I agree that the writing in the shows is not that strong, but they have... real serious fan bases,
I'm one of the serious fans. I watch those shows religiously all the time. I love them. But that does not mean they are not trash garbage.
Wait, what shows?
Like Arrow and The Flash.
Arrow,
Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah, you're going to be in trouble.
I love those shows. I love them passionately. But I also think they're stupid and bad. You can think both things.
That can I agree. Like, sure. That's how I feel about like The Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so, it's garbage. It's bad for you, but like, I want to watch all of them.
Yeah, and like, everybody's doing their best, and like, they're likable people. So that's part of it, right?
I feel like you're getting lost.
I'm getting lost. Anyways, but
although actually that's also not true, because I think it turns out like one of there are like a bunch of allegations about how like the showrunner on The Flash is like actually is like
oh not the show I've just mean the actors I don't mean the people
okay sure
involved
yes the actors seem like nice people
yeah like
I
directors
agree.
And showrunners they have nothing to do with
yeah.
any of this.
Well nothing that I can see so yeah the but. Anyways, Black Lightning is great. Go watch it. And it feels more like it
is
feels
it on
kind
Netflix
of
Netflix here for us.
I don't think it is.
Are you
I think
just
you
speaking
have to
Canadians.
No, no, no. I mean, it's available generally in the US. You just got to figure out some CW. CW has some kind of streaming app in America, doesn't they? Don't they?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't they?
But they also have a deal with Netflix where basically as soon as the season's over, like the whole season's up on Netflix. So if you just wait like a few months, you'll be able to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, wait for that. But and again, I've only seen one episode because only one or I think two have aired now, but I haven't seen the second one yet because I think it just came out. But it's like, it feels much more like the Marvel Netflix shows than it does like the regular CWDC shows, and like in a good way. And it's got, it's got a great cast. And awesome acting, good stories so far, but yeah, like all the components of an actual good show as opposed to a bad show.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Thanks for that breakdown.
Yeah. You know how good shows work versus
like it's got all the parts of a good show as opposed
right.
to bad
it's
shows.
Weird when they decide not to go with the good stuff, right? They're just like, we're going to do the components of a bad
it
show.
It is weird. I always wonder about those choices. Like,
but sometimes it's so bad it's good, you know? Like, sometimes that really works in their favor.
No. I do think that some people very consciously choose to make bad shows and that they are right to do so. So
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Logan right. Paul, maybe?
Logan Paul, yeah. So, I mean, I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on this because we've
yeah,
like, talked
let's
about
be
him
done
quite a
with
bit already.
Him.
Our old friend
as
Logan
soon
Paul.
As possible.
This is the segment of the show like, where we try to rope in that YouTube audience that we don't understand.
the big YouTube podcast audience. I mean, maybe that exists. I don't know. Jordan, you wrote the story. Why don't you tell us what happened with Logan Paul this week?
Yeah, so the Logan Paul came back. It's been 3 weeks since he said he was going to take time off to reflect. You can't see my air quotes, but that's what I did. And he posted a video which was focused on like suicide prevention, self-harm prevention, where he interviewed like the director of the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, as well as someone who attempted suicide and survived, a guy who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and made it and like said that he instantly regretted it. And there's like a lot of like slow, like the topic is great. And I guess the content is great too. Logan Paul like gives the steps you're supposed to take to like help your friends and yourself kind of prevent this kind of, you know, despair and action. Which is all good, but there's also like a lot of just like there's a slow-mo shot of him washing his hands, and there's a bunch of like slow-mo shots of him like tossing pebbles and being like contemplative.
What?
And it feels a little bit empty to me. Like, I think the content is good, and I think the effort, like notwithstanding the intention of the effort, is good too. Like, it's overall a good thing, but like, it just feels like he's trying to get himself out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so like outside of the content itself, I just feel like it was a little bit like empty. Like, can you forgive me now? Like, can we just move on? Like, I'll be interested to see what his next few videos are.
Does he just go back to goofball antics? And then that would be the real signal that like, oh yeah, you don't give a shit.
Exactly. Or like, is he going to spend his time making these videos that are like actually...
Like, oh yeah, there's like know, a montage. Public, is that montage of him? Is it like news clips of him being a Dumb
yes,
Dumb?
Yes, yes. There's a montage of like him getting in trouble for it. And he says, like, yeah, I'm going to continue to keep learning. He also, like, it's worth noting that he says he's going to pledge $1 million donation to suicide prevention.
Yeah, that's not nothing. That's actually significant.
That's, like, a significant amount. Like, he's definitely making a lot of money, but, like, that's a big number for someone like him. So that's good, too, you know. It's hard. It's like a hard thing to look at and be like, oh, what a jerk, you know?
Right.
But like literally 3 weeks ago, he was laughing at a dead body. So it's like.
And he would have had to spend much of the past 3 weeks producing this, you would think, right? So it like seems pretty. It doesn't seem like there was much.
He got started pretty quick. And I think he probably hired a.
Somebody told him to do this, like a reputation like, consultant or whatever.
Exactly. Right? But again, like it's hard to say, I mean, like. I'm sure he learned something. I'm sure he learned a lesson about something. Like, I think anyone who works in content or, like, deals with, like, large groups of people consuming their content, like, knows that you learn pretty quickly from that first mistake. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And, like, it means something and you remember it. Like, it lasts. So hopefully he did learn something. It's just, like, is the lesson don't, like, screw up again, or is the lesson like I have the ability to make a positive change in the world, and like that's
right? If he
I
continues to use the platform for similar things, that'll be the real thing. Otherwise, this is strictly a commercial, right? It's just like
right. Well, and it's like I mean, it's a complicated thing because, or I mean, for a whole bunch of reasons, but one is like just like I think that part of the appeal of like following. You know, somebody like Logan Paul is this sort of idea of this like unfiltered access to their life and their thoughts, right? And so, you know,
it's intentionally not produced, right? In the way that, then this was,
yeah, I'm sure there's some production
produced values. Yeah.
But like, I think it's at least supposed to create the illusion that you have a direct relationship with this person. You're getting exactly, you know, what he's thinking and feeling. And then it's not that he's like this incredibly thoughtful or I don't know. So like it's you know, like we were talking about like if he goes back to like just making like kind of like goofball videos, like but like that maybe is a sign that he hasn't learned much. But on the flip side, like it's I don't think anyone's seriously expecting him to like become now this like amazing advocate for like suicide prevention. And I guess that would be a good thing in the sense that I think that's an important issue and people should like talk about it and there should be more awareness. But like. I don't know what like the good outcome here is because, you know, it's just like he's like it's kind of like all right, well, you just did this dumb thing, like go away for a while, please.
Right.
Well, and there's like the whole thing about like if you are trying to give someone like unfettered access to your thoughts and stuff, right? Like these figures or whatever, these like this is a huge trend with millennials just generally in social media, right? Like I'm going to Snapchat every single thing I do and you're going to hear me say good things, bad things, whatever comes out of my mouth. That's like all well and good, but in today's climate and with what's going on in the world, like there are very few people that can actually do that and pull it off. Do you know what I mean? Like, and actually have like good things to say and be funny without being like horrible. You know what I mean? And that's a really, really hard thing to do. And I think you have to be like a really thoroughly good person to be able to do that well. So I don't know. We'll learn a lot over the next few weeks, seeing what Logan decides to upload and how he approaches things.
Well, did he also like address at all? Like, this is obviously about suicide prevention, so maybe not the venue, but like all the like he was also being racist and culturally insensitive, like in all of the rest of the
diary. Yeah, he didn't say anything about that. He didn't say anything about that, and like his big thing was like in this video, kind of like the subplot, I guess, of this video outside of the suicide stuff was just I need to learn. And, like, not be so ignorant, you know? And, like, I want to keep learning. And there was even a part where the guy, one of the guys he was interviewing who works at, like, a suicide prevention house of some sort was like, you're from Ohio. It's the second leading cause of death among young people there. Like, how do you not know that this isn't, that this is a sensitive topic? Like, have you not known someone who's, like, tried to kill themselves and... He was like, no, I just had no idea, you know? And, like, you can tell that he's, like, lived a bit of a sheltered life. And, like, I think I've known a lot of people in my life who've been like that. I've probably been like that on certain topics. And, like, I want to give him the chance, I guess, to, like, learn and do something about his mistakes because...
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, like, I think everybody gets that chance. But, like, you get one. You get one chance, you know, if you're going to be in the public eye like that. So, like, if he comes out and does more stupid stuff, hopefully he learned from that internally, even though he didn't address the racism. Hopefully he, like, knows, and someone close to him has been like, you can't do that, you know? Like, right. You gotta, that's no good. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be pretty easy to tell one way or the other, right? So.
And I'm kind of just ready to, like, let, I mean, he, like, wasn't even a thing. Like, I didn't even know about him until
that's
all this.
True.
So
I'd like him to just go
away.
Into the darkness.
Exactly. Right. Like, let him learn. And
beyond,
like,
my sphere of awareness. Yeah.
Exactly. So is it time for Ozark now?
No, there's one last thing I wanted to bring up just very quickly, which is just that Ursula Gwynn, who I think is, like, probably my favorite living writer, and, you know, is, like, one of the most famous science fiction fantasy writers, passed away on Monday. So I just, you know, wanted to acknowledge that. Le Guin was like 88 years old when she passed away. So, like, it's one of those things where on the one hand you feel like, wow, she had a long, wonderful life. But I think a lot of people just felt like she was going to live forever. And so it's a bummer that it turns out that's not literally true. And I would just say that, you know, for anyone who's listening who has not read any Le Guin, you know, go read The Left Hand of Darkness, go read The Dispossessed, go read A Wizard of Worth Sea. Those are, like, some of my favorite books of all time, and I hope you go check it out.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to ask you where to start, because I am not familiar.
I would say Wizard of Earth Sea. If you're not sure, just start with A Wizard of Earth Sea. It's a young adult fantasy novel, but, like, it's very, like, smart and, like, beautifully written, and you can probably, like, read it in, like, 2 hours. So go read it.
Okay.
Then if you like it, there's, you know, 5 books after that.
In the same series?
In the same series, yeah. Because she basically started it in the late 60s, wrote like an initial trilogy, and then kind of came back to it about 20 years later. And, I mean, oftentimes that does not result in good things. In this case, I think she used it to kind of, like, deepen and re-examine a lot of the assumptions she'd made when she wrote the first 3 books. So it's almost like they're like two different trilogies that you can read.
Cool. All right. I will do that. I'm getting to the end of my current, anyway, my space, whatever the hell it's called. I actually don't care anymore.
Okay.
It may be, I got bored of it, but I'm looking for something new. Cool.
Now we can talk about Ozark.
Yeah. Oh, one note. CNN shut down Casey Neistat's dumb app, and I am enjoying that.
Oh my God. Don't revel in other people's pain.
Okay,
gosh.
Next thing. Let's move on.
I mean, I think part of the, well, anyway, I didn't follow it that closely. I don't know. certainly Casey's going to be fine. He's going to
do exactly.
Great. I don't know if there's, like, a lot of Beam fans who are bummed out that it's
no, it was maybe just like a dumb thing where, like, everybody involved, like, I mean, if anybody, like, Casey made out like a bandit and, like, everybody else was stupid about it. And I thought it was dumb, but go ahead.
So Ozark.
Ozark. So this is Jordan. Basically, you were the one who recommended that we go back and watch it. Do you want to just talk about your own? Well, tell us a little bit about the concept and then what you liked about the show that made you feel like we should revisit it.
Yeah, I feel like when it came out, I was like, hey, I'll come on original content and talk about Ozark. And you guys were like, oh, maybe we'll see about that. Like, you guys never even did anything with it, which blows my mind.
The problem with all these shows is, like, there's usually like a boom and bust. And then, like, in the boom periods, there's like a whole bunch of good stuff out at the same time, and you got to kind of, like, select or whatever. But
yeah, I mean, this seems like a no-brainer, but whatever, you guys have your process. So
we made a lot of mistakes in the early days, Jordan.
There was probably the Inhumans or something we had to talk about. So
I feel like I was like, I don't actually know how all of this came about, but I was bored, and, like, Ozark was the first thing on my Netflix, like, originals, trending, popular for you, whatever tab. And I was like, oh, whatever, you know, I'll, like, start it. And I literally watched the whole thing straight through. I actually watched it twice because I watched the first 3 episodes. And then my friend came over and was like, hey, what do you want to watch? And I was like, let's watch Ozark. And she was like, well, I haven't seen it. And I was like, okay, let's start over. So I watched the first 3 episodes twice. That's how much I feel for this. So the concept is Jason Bateman plays Marty Bird, who is a, like, financial advisor in New York, I believe. And
I think Chicago.
Chicago, there you go. That's right. And he's laundering money for a gangster of some sort, the Mexican cartel. And he, in the first episode, like, everything goes wrong. And he's in a bunch of trouble. He owes a bunch of money. And his plan is, kind of off the cuff, he's like, let's go to the Ozarks and I'll fix this for you there. I'll launder money in the Ozarks, cash heavy area. Lots of money pours through it every summer. I can do this. And he really doesn't know whether or not he can do this, but he moves his whole family. And it's kind of one of those, it's very Breaking Bad-esque, where like every episode the stakes get raised and it feels like the whole world is going to collapse in on him and his family, and he outwits the odds and kind of comes up with a new way to figure this all out. And every episode, the stakes get higher and higher and higher. And I love it. Like, I just think it's so oddly paced, even. Like, it's not slow by any means, but out of nowhere, you think, like, there's a lull, like, good time to take a bathroom break, and then, like, you're like, oh, my God, what did I miss? Like, it's just a fantastic show. I think it's probably Jason Bateman's best work since Arrested Development. I think it even tops Arrested Development in a lot of ways because it gives him a little bit more freedom and flexibility to be more than one thing. But, yeah, that's kind of my general synopsis. And you guys obviously didn't care enough to even watch it, so I could just keep talking.
So I've seen the first four episodes.
There you go.
Yes.
And I like it a lot. I'm probably going to try to finish it in the next like 2 days. But like, I think one of the things that's, because, you know, Jordan, you and I were talking a little bit about some of the reviews. I think particularly this review in the AV Club, which was comparing it a lot to Breaking Bad. And
right. That's what I heard just generally that it was.
Yeah. Like, was it just derivative of Breaking Bad? And I think one of the interesting distinctions, I mean, A, is just, I mean, it just has this amazing cast, not just Jason Bateman, but also Laura Linney as his wife, who I think is I think, not just the sort of like long suffering or like shrewish wife. I think she's like given a lot more to do.
Absolutely.
But the other thing that I mean, like, that distinguishes it just in the basic setup from Breaking Bad is the fact that it's not that he's like just this totally like, you know, normal guy.
He's not like the standard good guy to start
with.
Yeah,
is that like he's actually been laundering, like, that he's already made the decision to be kind of a bad person. And then this is just the thing that like kind of pulls him in deeper. And in some ways, I think it makes him like kind of a really different kind of character, because like it's like all these bad decisions that have like already been made are kind of like now, you know, manifesting, and now he has to pay the price and like figure out how to like, you know, get out of all of this.
Well, and like I also think, yeah, like in Breaking Bad, they kind of had it was Arizona, right?
New Mexico.
Yeah, like they had that vibe, right? Like the methy vibe of New Mexico, I guess. Like, not, no offense to people who live in New Mexico, but like they had the flavor of the setting mixed in there, and that was good. And I hate when people are like, you know, the Sex and the City makers are like, New York is the fifth character. Like, I think that's kind of lame, but I do think the Ozarks as a backdrop actually makes a big difference in this show. Like, there's something really visually stunning about it. There's something in the characters and like kind of the way that people are approaching different plots and different situations in the show that like makes it even more interesting. Like, there's some really incredible like wide panning shots of the Ozarks where you're like, oh man, that place is crazy. You know, it's like huge, and they're riding boats around instead of, it's like kind of Bloodline-esque with all the boats. Like,
that was the
one
that I thought it might be more similar to is Bloodline. But
No. I mean, yeah, you could see some similarities with Bloodline, but I think it, like, plot-wise, it's much closer to Breaking Bad. But it's also Breaking Bad 10 years later. So, like, a lot's been learned overall in TV since then. And you can see that incorporated here, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that it was, like, the only reason I tried starting to watch it, I got distracted by something very, very quickly on. But I think that the only reason, I think in general, like, this genre is just never going to work for me. Like, I never watched Breaking Bad. I have no real interest in watching Breaking Bad. I I don't plan on watching this. I never watched what was the stupid? Oh, The Sopranos. I have such contempt for all of these shows too, as you can tell.
Wow,
you're talking about the show that's generally considered the top peak of television as an art form, and you're just not going to watch it.
Yeah, that one. I just don't like.
I have no interest. He says.
I don't like it when. I just don't like it. I just don't like get in there like broody crime, and you're like normal person crime, normal person.
But it's not broody crime. It's more like, thriller than brood.
No, I don't care. I also never watched The Wire, another one of the best shows ever made.
I feel like The Wire, a lot of people haven't watched because The Wire takes like 5 episodes before you even care about anything. Like that's much of an investment.
Like, why isn't there like a monster in there? How about a crazy genius who loves like Fringe? There you go. You did it.
Yeah.
the show good.
You could argue, though, like, I think that what's interesting about these shows is like, it was the same in Breaking Bad. You have like a lot of empathy for your lead character, but at the same time, like, they're part evil genius as well.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like the departure. It's like the normalcy you see, and then it's like that departure. Which I think people are really like, right? Like they go into some place where you can't go and you lack the empathy, even though you've come with them so far in the journey or whatever.
Exactly. And it floats back and forth. Like you cannot, like the difference between like, does the means justify the ends, you know, and stuff like that all comes into play. And you worry about the people who constantly have your empathy and even that wavers sometimes. I don't know. It's got some just really, really interesting characters. Like there's a character in Ozark. It's played. Who plays the young girl, Anthony?
Let me look up. I know who you're talking about. And I keep forgetting her name. I like looked her up multiple times. But she's you're talking about the one who like she basically goes to work for
him.
Jason
Bateman's
character,
the curly haired girl. She's like
Julia Garner is the actress's name.
She's very country and she's like brilliant and like pretty sassy and she's always got like her own kind of plan in store for everyone and like just such a dynamic, awesome character. I'm just like, oh man, I love her. Even though she's like kind of a pain the whole time because she's always like thwarting things. You're just like, I can't not like her. She's fantastic.
Well, I think like the other thing that's like, I agree that like a lot of the supporting characters are really interesting, and like the show does this thing where the first episode is really focused on Jason Bateman and to a lesser extent Laura Linney, and then basically like that whole like setting and set of characters gets sort of left by the wayside, and then like in the subsequent episodes you really start to get like a broader view and like they slowly sort of introduce all these other people, and I think like that. I think both it's like both versions of the show I really like. Like one, which is just like this thriller where it's just like you see Jason Bateman's life like falling apart and like just like it gets like super violent and crazy. Like I really liked. And then when you started to get to know this, like when it kind of slowed down a little bit and you started to get like to know these other characters, I also thought that was like a pretty like interesting and like, you know, it just became like a kind of a different show for me.
Well, and like you guys haven't gotten this far, so I'm not going to spoil anything. But like the season one finale is also like what I think is one of the better finales I've seen in a long time to like a show like this. Like it's just everything that you expect and nothing that you expect all at the same time. Just like complete shock. And again, like stakes as high as they could possibly be. I really, really like it. Like, I was actually really upset. I think I tweeted about it because Netflix normally with these types of shows does 13 episodes. And they did 10. And I was like, what the hell? Like, you owe me 3 hours. Like, now. Like, before 2017 is over, I am owed 3 hours of Ozark.
Although one of the episodes is the finale, like, extra long?
Maybe.
Yeah, the finale is like an hour and a half, basically. Yeah. It's 80 minutes.
But do they plan on bringing it back, right? Or was that meant to wrap everything up?
No, it's already renewed. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was renewed pretty quick, actually. But yeah, and I think Jason Bateman is like his best here because he's either...
And we should say he directed like both, I think, the first two and last two episodes of the season. So he's like very involved behind the scenes as well.
He's been in so much...
Yeah, I know he's
Disney
been in so
Infinity
much.
Disney Infinity 3.0.
But here's my kind of assessment of it. He did a great job in Arrested Development, and I like AV Club brought this up, which I thought was great. Like, they put it really well. He, in Arrested Development, had to both be, like, the only empathetic character, but he was still so unlikable at the same time because he thought he was better than everyone else.
That was the beauty of it.
Exactly. And he walked that line so well and so, like, beautifully and with, like, amazing comedic timing. But in everything,
and it was complicated because he actually was better than everyone else.
Exactly.
But you, like, hated him
but
for
not
thinking,
like,
for knowing that.
But not good, you know? Like, better than everyone else, but definitely not good. And so, like, it was a really actually quite complex character for a comedy like that.
It was. You located yourself there, and then you were, like, trapped. Because then it's like, oh, wait, this guy sucks. And he was the one I identified with.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, he's the only one with a sane brain. And he's still, like, just annoying and awful. And everything he's been in since, he's either, like, not funny enough or, like, too funny, you know?
But what about,
like,
before? What about in Teen Wolf 2?
Yeah, I'm not going that far back. That's your generation, not mine.
I don't think that was anyone's generation.
No, that was a good burn, Jordan.
Thank you. But, like, this feels like you still get the like kind of smack in the face of comedy that I think he's good at, where it's like not quite expected, but it's like, oh shit, that's hilarious. But he also, like, exercises every other muscle, you know? Like, he's part evil genius, he's part, like, caring father, he's part, like, loving and hating husband. Like, he has all of these different hats he's putting on, like, throughout every episode, and it shows what he's really capable of, I think.
Yeah, I will watch it. I mean, you guys both seem to enjoy it so much that I think it's probably going to be worth my time. And I'm out of new shows to watch because I'm all cut up on all my CW shows and on Black Lightning.
And yeah, you definitely have to, like, get through, like, an episode and a half. And if you still hate it, like, you're going to keep hating it.
Okay, that's fair. But knowing my position on all these other historic shows... Although I haven't really ever given them a chance. I've just kind of, like, hate them out of principle.
And if it hates you, or if it hates you, if it helps you at all, if it hates you, like, I still haven't watched The Sopranos. Haven't gotten around to it, even though I know it's, like, going to rock my world. It's almost like one that I save. I tried The Wire, couldn't do it, because I literally watched 5 episodes and was like, I still don't care about any of these people. I reluctantly watched Breaking Bad. I was forced into it, and I actually did enjoy it. But I'm, like, not one of those people either. Like, I don't, like, go crazy over these, like, thriller, drama, crime shows. But I just gave this a chance and just popped it on one day and couldn't stop. So, like, I don't consider myself, like, a lover of that genre by any stretch. But I do really love this show. Like, I think it's fantastic.
All right. I like him a lot, too. So I'm willing to give it a chance on that. And also,
yeah,
like, Laura Dern.
Laura Linney.
Whoever is in this one.
I mean, I think, like, the other thing is, like, I mean, and this is, like, we're generalizing a lot about, like, some fairly different shows right now. But I do think, like, even if we don't think about them as, like, all, like, sort of, like, I mean, another thing that kind of connects them is, and I think Breaking Bad is considered sort of, like, one of the big examples of, like, this sort of anti-hero show. They're kind of, like, brooding, you know, criminal.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that. I don't like empathizing, like, with these bad, bad people. They're doing bad things.
Yeah. And I think, like, there's, like, a couple of different things to pick apart there. I mean, one is just, like, and certainly I think, like, what happens with a lot of these shows, right, is that, like, ostensibly they're written to sort of condemn these characters, but just because of the way television and narrative fiction works, you end up sympathizing with them and wanting them to succeed in their plans, even though their plans are, like, actually, like, bad, like, for the world. But I think, like, the other thing that happens is you, and this show does, I mean, is in the same way, where, like, it definitely, like, makes it clear that, like, Jason Bateman's character, like, has, like, kind of dug his own hole and, like, is, like, you know, like put himself, like, decided to do business with, like, Mexican drug cartels. It kind of puts its hand on the scale a little bit because it also puts him in this position where he has to, like, continue doing this to save his own family. So there's, like, a little bit of extenuating circumstances. But it's also, like, it is, like, not trying to hide from the fact that he's kind of a shit and, like, now is, like, trying to get out of the situation he's made for himself. I think the other thing that's, like, interesting is, like, I think a lot of these anti-hero shows I can respect, but I never want to, like, binge them. Like, they're, like, a show, like, and Mad Men is a show that I would also put in this category where, like, I'll watch an episode and I'll be like, that was very good. I have no desire to watch another episode right now, and I'll like go away for a week and then watch another episode. This one, I think, because it's just a lot more plot driven, you can like definitely burn. I mean, obviously, I didn't burn through everything, but like I like man, you know, like it. I could like watch like several in a row and like enjoy it and find it pleasurable in a way that wasn't true with Mad Men or Breaking Bad.
Well, and I think it's a little faster than like Mad Men and Breaking Bad. Like Breaking Bad, you'll wait for like that high stakes moment for like five episodes, get it, he'll find a way out of it, and then you'll do another five episodes of that like, you know, build up. Whereas this, I felt like had those moments like sprinkled throughout, at least in once every episode. There was never a moment where it was like so expository, where you were just taken out of the like, you know, thriller like plot moving forward. I'm going to be interested to see how they do season two, because I feel like with shows like this, like you said, he's digging a hole for himself, and without any like true loss, like it rings hollow every time he wiggles out of this. And they like, you know, messed with that a little bit in season one, right? But like, I'll be interested to see kind of what is taken from him in season two, if that makes sense.
It doesn't to me.
Right, there has to be like a cost for his actions.
I haven't seen
right,
it.
Exactly, like a cost for his actions. Like the point I'm trying to make is that like you part of the reason you love this character Marty Bird is not just because he's trying to save his family, but because he's so much smarter than everyone around him, and like either with a little luck or just like sheer brain power, he finds a way to resolve situations that should absolutely tear him apart, and eventually that has to not work, or otherwise it stops being impressive.
It's a no stakes world. That's kind of like,
exactly.
Did you ever watch what was it called? Weeds.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I watched that for like quite a few seasons, but eventually that was the thing. I was like, this doesn't matter. None of this matters. I'm just gonna stop watching this.
Yeah.
And it was because
Weeds
well,
had a
one of the
lot
problems,
of bigger
problems,
problems.
House of Cards too.
Yeah, for sure it did. But that was mainly what it was, just it was that repetition of that exact scenario. Like,
yeah. Well, and like Weeds, like, you know, like the way that they resolved a lot wasn't because she was so clever. It was because like, oh, they're like, let's move again. Like, oh, okay. Like now they're in New York. Now they're in Seattle. Now they're in Mexico. It's like that doesn't.
Right.
And, you know, they did experience some pretty crazy loss eventually. Right. But like it was almost too little
again,
too late.
I stopped watching.
Yeah, you stopped watching. Like, they figured that out. It was just too late in the plot. And House of Cards, yeah, runs into that a little bit as well. House of Cards is so fantastic, though. I'm really sad about the fact that Kevin Spacey's a big jerk. I guess that was well known, but...
Yeah, although, I mean, now then you'll get a final season where it's just Robin Wright. Yeah.
I know. Everything is as it should be, I guess, right? Like, it works out, but... I wonder how pre-written that was. Like, I wonder how, you know what I mean? Or if that's all a reaction to Kevin Spacey, or if it was always meant to be hers.
I don't know. Somebody told me it was like, it was already set up for that based on what happened in the previous season, but I
well, and that
see.
Seems like at least like plausible, you know, based on the plot of the last season.
Yeah.
Anyway. Ozark is great. Everyone should watch it, including you too.
I will finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I should say, like, just to be... I mean, I think it's been clear already, but, like, I think, like, it is... I mean, I can see why, like, some people felt it was kind of derivative, but, like, I really liked it, and I'm really enjoying it, and fully intend to finish it, so I definitely recommend... Like, I can understand, like, I don't necessarily think it's, like, the best show ever, but, like, if this is, like, seems like the kind of thing you'd be interested in, like, I would definitely recommend it. And especially, I just think, like, that pilot is just, like, crazy, and it just, like, is so,
it, like hits you in the stomach over and over again.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And from the way the first 10 minutes go, too, you're like, I don't know if I can get into this show or not. And then, like, suddenly, like, suddenly you're just, like, in the middle of a shitstorm, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really intense. And I do think it's derivative, but I think, like, almost in a good way, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, or at least just fix it in small ways. Like, I don't mind.
Right.
Breaking Bad was successful for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, that's all.
Yeah. The one other thing I wanted to say was, so this actor, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's, I think, Esai Morales, who plays the drug lord. I haven't seen that much of him yet, but like he was in Caprica and like also really good in Caprica. But
oh,
like,
who's he?
He like
Caprica, like the in, Battlestar Galactica thing.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Oh,
who was he in Caprica?
He was the. He was what was it? He played like the head of the Adama family.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Oh my god.
I like him.
Yeah. So like, yeah, Joseph Adama, and like he, I mean, in some ways, it was a similar role where he is like you just like when you see him, he has this sort of like dad kind of vibe, and you sympathize with him, and then he turns out to be a really scary guy.
Like super cutthroat.
Same with this one.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic too. And there's like, I mean, you guys haven't even gotten there, but there's like other, even scarier bad guys too. So it's like, it just gets better and better. It really does.
Cool. Well, I guess we should probably wrap up because I think we're coming up on time.
Yeah. We got to cut this one somewhat short relative to our normal, really length.
Sadly. Right. A brisk 70-minute episode.
I'm sure you're all very sad. But,
I hope you guys all enjoyed the attention deficit that we had hopping from one thing to the next.
There's a lot going on today. anyways, join us next week. I think we'll probably have a look at that Everything Sucks because I think it's out this week. Or is that next week?
Yeah, although we should... No, I think that's coming... We can probably get review copies, but we might want to try to get review copies of Altered Carbon.
Oh, yes.
I know they refuse to get that.
Yeah, one of those two.
At least, you know, something exciting that people are looking forward to.
Yeah, we'll try to track those down for you, and then we'll let you know if they're worth your time. But we'll be right back here talking about something. Friends.
Right. And just a reminder, if you enjoy the show, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast program. If you really like it, leave us a review. That's also super helpful. And thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.